Ready to go?
Need one more mic check for you.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I hope that makes it.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We have a special show today. We're all together in Portland in my hotel room, which is not impressive.
Kind of sucks. Yeah. Thought you were much more important than this.
Clearly I'm not.
It wasn't impressive last night, but waking up this morning, it seems nicer.
Wow. Wow. That's Andrew Hahn.
The Hahn! Right.
Thank you for bringing the candles, Andrew. That's Nick Friedel.
What's up, B?
He sounds a lot more cheery than he looks because it's Sunday morning.
Oh, he's wearing a bright pink shirt.
Half of his wardrobe was bright pink.
That is true.
And that's Ben McMahon, who wishes he was still asleep.
Looking great. Looking spry this morning. My man.
Last night we were all at the Moda Center. Should still be called the Rose Garden. For the Blazers end of season party. But there was an amazing moment that you guys didn't get to see. That Andrew got to witness, I think sort of epitomized the night for the Warriors and Blazers. Do you want to tell them about it?
Oh, no, please.
How long after the game was this?
I believe they said 2 hours.
I was out on the court doing some stuff, and there were these two Warriors fans who, would you say they were inebriated?
I would say they definitely enjoyed themselves at the game.
It was long after the arena had been cleared out, but they were there, and they were in about maybe the sixth or eighth row, searching high and low for one of the guy's wallets. And they found it after what apparently was a long time of looking. Even though they were sitting right there, apparently it fell in such a way that it made it very hard to find. And one of the arena workers actually found it. And the wallet was very thick. And the guy immediately pulled out a C note to give to the guy.
What we believe to be a C note.
Yeah. And there was wherever, I just wanted to say, I wasn't close enough to know, but there was a lot more where that came from, whatever that bill was. And I mean, these guys, I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but they look like they just sold their startup for $147 million and flew up on, their marquee jet card and probably paid $2,500 for the seats. And they were overjoyed by finding that wallet. And they were having a party. And the party was going to keep going that they were already having.
Yeah, it was very indicative of the night, right? That everything's going to come up Golden State in Portland.
Yeah, and it's such a great atmosphere there. And everybody's will was broken. The players' will was broken. The fans' will was broken. And all that was left was two laughing, drunken, rich Warriors fans. And right before they left, they yelled at me that Durant is staying with the Warriors. And I said, how come you guys are wearing Curry jerseys?
Yes, do they need
which they were. They ought to be wearing Draymond Green jerseys after last night. Draymond Green, Nick, is playing, I think, maybe the best basketball I've ever seen him play. He obviously shot the ball better in years past, but pretty awesome.
I don't think that casual fans understand how important he is to this team. He has been unbelievable throughout the postseason. He's been even better without KD because that whole group knows they can't be as reliant on Durant to save them offensively, but Draymond personally has taken upon himself to just make everything happen. And in every aspect, B, that's the key. It's not just, oh, well, he's a great defender. He's an awesome defender. Offensively, he gets the ball. He's running up and down the floor. He's setting everything up. Draymond is so crucial to everything that Golden State does. And he gets lost sometimes because of the brilliance of Durant and Steph and Clay. And because he wasn't really in shape throughout much of the year, he dropped a bunch of weight. He looks great. And everybody is responding to what he does. I thought that was one of the most interesting comments after game three, guys.
How does an NBA player lose 25 pounds in 6 weeks while playing in the NBA?
Wait a second. You were the one that told the story that LeBron gained 7 pounds over the course of a game.
That was one of the most wild stories I've ever heard.
Seven?
Yeah. Even he doesn't understand how he did it. You know, the thing about it was in Miami.
Draymond.
These playoffs have been tough.
LeBron, the Heat were obsessive about weighing guys. They weighed guys before games, weighed guys after games. Like if you had a big dinner, the Heat would know about it. Battier would tell me that they like were all over every ounce. That, you know, they were all over you. So that's kind of why LeBron knew the way it fluctuated. But how does an NBA player? You're already playing games. There's only so much calisthenics. There's only so much work that you can do. He does look completely different. The other thing I think, Nick, is that when Durant doesn't play, everybody sort of moves up the chow line.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad example of now because Draymond's not chowing. But so the ball's just going to be in his hands more, and the ball's in his hands more. He's more engaged. He's more engaged. He's more active when he's off the ball. All that has a cascading effect.
Not only that, he's grabbing rebounds and going.
I mean, Draymond in transition, though, has been ridiculous. And that's going back. I mean, it was the same against the Rockets. But, like, last night, his third quarter is the most dominant I've ever seen a guy in a quarter when he only took one shot. He was, right. I mean, he was the primary reason the Blazers scored only 13 points in the quarter. He gets 6 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous how much his fingerprints were all over the Warriors' dominance of that quarter, and he took a shot, one.
Also, thanks to the mic'd up thing, which, you know, rarely is a payoff, we got to hear that he was also serving as, like, a leader, which obviously he does on a lot of nights. We just can't hear it. After Jordan Bell misses the dunk, he keeps him pepped up, and next thing you know, he's running the floor and gets another dunk.
With two hands that time.
Right.
Let the record show.
It was kind of actually a bad break on the Jordan Bell dunk, because what happened was when he dunked it, the ball hit off the side of the rim, and then when it came back, it hit his hand. His hand was still on the cylinder. Obviously, you don't want a dunk to rattle around the rim, but it was a bit of a bad luck. It wasn't, you know, stupidity.
B, this speaks to, though, what I thought was one of the most interesting things that came out after the game. Draymond calls out the video coordinator for the Warriors. His name's James Laughlin. And he says, James came up to me and said, I want to thank you for helping me grow over the last few years. You've been very important. And you need to understand that what you say to everybody, that helps pick up everybody's spirits. And the quote that stuck with me was Draymond saying, my teammates have told me that they take their cues from what I do. And anybody who's watched the Warriors over the last few years would tell you that, but Draymond has even more of an appreciation for it now in the moment because they can't be as reliant on Durant. And because he's a few more years into this and he's looking for that max deal that may or may not come here in the next year or two, he is at peace more so than I've seen him all year. And Timmy and I were sitting there last night. He also made it a point to call out his mom and his fiance.
He was like the guy who hit it big at the craps table walking out of the casino.
Here's a hundred.
He was like, I can't believe I used to complain about officiating. That must have been disgusting to watch.
Yep. Yeah.
Here's a hundred for the video coordinator. Thanks, Draymom. By the way.
Draymom?
Well, that used to be your Twitter handle.
Oh. Okay.
Now her Twitter handle is Babbers Green, but it was awesome when her Twitter handle was Dre Mom. I just love that. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, fiance. Thank you to the concession workers. Thank you to the ushers. Thank you to our bus driver. Like, he was in full glory. But the thing about it was that mic'd up thing, obviously they're never going to do that. There's a guy from the NBA who sits in the truck and approves all the messages. And actually, the person who was working the Jimmy Butler game a few weeks ago, where we got some of the best stuff ever from Jimmy Butler. But Dre was talking some serious trash with Seth Curry that entire first half, and even in the second half, there was some real stuff being said. That's what I wanted to hear. That's the stuff that I wanted to hear. But it was like Dre was on the ultimate, you know, the ultimate heater last night. He was just handing it all out.
They are loving the fact that they haven't missed a beat without KD.
KD's not loving it so much based on his IG comments.
And I believe they'll need him for Milwaukee or Toronto, whatever happens in the East. And they've said it repeatedly, and B, you wrote about this a couple days ago, how clear the messaging has been lately. Yeah, from Steve Kerr on down, of everybody saying, if we want to go where we want to go, we need Kevin. He's the best player in the world. This team and that old guard of Draymond, Steph, Clay, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, they are enjoying the human element of being able to just run by Houston and then totally dominate Portland in these last couple of games.
Speaking of message, I think that Joe Lacob and Peter Guber should have their plane bring Durant. Durant wasn't here. He was getting treatment. Mm-hmm. I think they need to bring Durant up because you don't want that team celebrating another series victory, probably throwing around some champagne, and have Durant sitting back in Oakland with his, or San Francisco, where he lives with his phone. I know that, you know, that's where he can get the treatment. But I would advise, and I'm sure I don't even have to advise Bob Myers, I'm sure this is already figured out. Let's get the G5 down to SFO, bring him up here. You want him here, even if he's not on the bench, and take away his phone. Don't let him get stuff, because he, you know, last night he was getting into with fans who were, you know, talking about how good they looked, exactly what you were just saying.
The most sensitive social media presence in the NBA.
Well, most sensitive one that we know about. He certainly lets us know, clearly, that we know about it. He's probably listening to this podcast. He likes to listen to podcasts.
Good.
So,
what's up, Katie?
Please leave a message after the tone.
When I was young, getting a credit card was a pain. You had to worry about the interest charges and all those fees because I didn't have a credit history. Now I'm older and I've built some credit, but you still have to watch those annual fees and foreign transaction fees. But have you ever heard of a credit card company that actually helps you avoid paying those fees and the unexpected interest charges? Well, I just did, and it completely changed the way I think about credit cards. This new company is called Pedal.
Pedal uses advanced technology and partners with WebBank, member FDIC, to provide access to a Visa credit card along with a simple, modern mobile app. Pedal's cash back grows with you. Earn 1% cash back right away and up to 1.5% cash back when you make 12 on-time payments. When Pedal says no fees, they mean it. No annual fees, late payment fees, foreign transaction fees, or any other kinds of fees. Pedal suggests you pay in full each month so you avoid interest charges entirely. You can also set up an auto pay so you never forget to make a payment. As of today, their variable APRs range from 15.24% to 26.24%. Credit limits range from $500 to $10,000. Which can be a lot higher than other credit cards if you're just starting to build your credit. You can qualify even if you've never had credit in the past, but make no mistake, Pedal may be a great option for anybody looking for more from their credit card company. It takes only 5 minutes to apply, and you can see if you're pre-approved without impacting your credit score.
So if you want to build your credit the right way, check out the Pedal credit card. It's a smarter credit card for the modern world. Go to pedalcard.com/hoop today and find out more. That's pedal with a T. Pedal, P-E-T-A-L, card.com/hoop.
McMahon, you were over with the Blazers. You had a report last night about Damian Lillard injury. I did go to the Blazers locker room after games 1 and 2. I did not go last night. What was that scenario like?
I mean, obviously, you know, they know it's done. And it's, I mean, they're sitting there, 2 straight games, double-digit halftime leads, and it doesn't matter. And, you know, it was interesting. Myers Leonard was basically just in awe of Draymond Green. I mean, he raved about Draymond as much as I've ever seen or heard a player rave about an opponent during a playoff series. He said, watching him on defense, I mean, it's incredible. And just goes on and on and on. Then he starts talking about all he's doing, you know, as far as a distributor on offense. And, you know, I mean, it's been a great run for the Blazers to get to the West Finals. But, you know, I mean, it's the realization of they're just not nearly on the same level as the Warriors. And, you know, that's obvious to anybody watching. And I think it's obvious to all those guys that are sitting there in that locker room.
Well, if you talk to some people around the Blazers, and I haven't been around them until this round, so I have to rely on people telling me, the sense of euphoria that they had after that Denver win. And let me just say, having covered some teams intimately who have won Game 7s on the road, I mean, last year when the Cavs won in
Boston,
I made the case that that victory was worth more than, you know, LeBron had won 8 consecutive Eastern Conference titles, and I made the victory that that one shouldn't be just included as one of the 8. It's worth something more than that. And the Cavs were playing against a better team, but they were done by the time they got to the finals. They had accomplished everything that they possibly could. But talking to some people around the Blazers, there was definitely that feeling. You know, there's some guys this summer who are in line for extensions. Dame is one of them. Terry Stotts is one of them. For a team that had been through, was not expected to make the playoffs by some people this year, that lost Nurkic, that was, you know, the vogue pick to get knocked out in the first round by a team that had swept them during the regular season. There was definitely that sense. And I just don't know if you can compete with the Warriors unless you have the edge.
But for them to get swept in this series definitely would leave a bitter taste at the end of a, you know, a really nice run for them. And, you know, it's too bad because, I mean, Dame in the first round, you know, he was the star of the first round. It has been rough for him this series. And, yeah, he's got a separated rib. That's not the reason he's struggling.
Yeah, you reported on that. So what do you know about that injury?
Yeah, you know, when Looney fell on him while they're chasing loose ball,
he immediately grabbed his rib.
Yeah. And it's a separated rib. You know, it's something, you know, he's playing through it. It's not even on their injury report.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
There was never any threat of him missing time. I mean, if every little bump and bruise is on the injury report, every guy's going to have multiple things. So, I mean,
why wouldn't those all be on the injury report? If we're going to be in this era of gambling, why shouldn't people know that Damian Lillard is dealing with an injury?
Well, look, the injury's not the reason he's struggling. He was struggling before the injury. He struggled after.
He looks exhausted on an aside to.
The playoff run, but more so, I think, from the way that the Warriors are guarding him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got either Andre Iguodala or Klay Thompson all up in his grill. They're doubling the hell out of him. You know, he's getting blitzed in every pick and roll.
It is a significant.
And then when he can get in there, he's got to deal with Draymond as the back line of defense. The guy on drives is shooting 22% from the floor. He's got 5 2-point buckets in 3 games.
He's got more turnovers than baskets, I think, for the
season. No, it's close, though. 14 turnovers, 15 buckets.
Okay, so, you know what? He threw in that banked-in 3-pointer. Yeah. He threw in a couple threes right at the end that put him past
The Warriors have made him a completely one-dimensional scorer. He can, other than 3-point shots, he's got nothing going in
this
series.
Well, Nick, you mentioned this yesterday, and I talked to some people at the Warriors who said the exact same thing. They had a simple game plan. Dame was not going to beat us.
Yeah.
The other thing that is a factor here, when Dame isn't involved in the play, he just stands there. The Warriors love that because not only do they not have to defend him, it lets the guy that they've got assigned to him also rest. Mm-hmm. So if it's Iguodala or if it's Klay, he can rest. The other thing is when they do call plays, because one of the things that they have tried to do a little bit was to take Dame off the ball. When they do run plays off the ball, the Warriors know those plays. So this is, I mean, like when they were studying and getting ready for the series, they were like, okay, we're going to trap the heck out of Dame. And then here's their pet plays that they go to. So unlike the Warriors, who have a very read and react offense where depending on what happens with the ball, Steph and Clay maneuver around, the Warriors or the Blazers don't really have that offense. And I kind of don't blame them, because for 6 months they play with Dame as the centerpiece of everything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to spend a lot of time developing an offense with him moving off the ball. But I would say that last year, I mean, and the Warriors are totally exploiting that. They're totally exploiting the lack of creativity and depth to the Blazers offense. Last year when the Pelicans, you know, trapped Damian, Dame like worked on his lengthening out his range so it'd make it harder to trap him or more penal to trap him. This year, I would say this summer, after Dame signs his Supermax extension, which I think is coming, he should work on moving without the ball.
Could I ask a question, Nick, since you haven't spoken in a while?
Anything you need, Han.
How far away are the Blazers from competing with Houston perennially, things like that? Was Nurkic the difference? Do they need one more guy?
They need one more guy on top of Nurkic. I like Portland, but they're missing that one more piece.
Trade Myers Leonard while he's hot, baby.
That would have been right a halftime now. Last night.
Right now. When I watch Portland, I watch a group that is a major piece away still from the part that you're talking about. And Timmy, I'm with you to a point that it's going to leave a sour taste in their mouth, but who in the hell thought Portland was going to be
well,
here?
Well, and look, honestly, the Blazers are... I mean, they're not better than the Rockets. I don't think they're better than the Jazz. I mean, they got the 3 seed. You know, they got here. But they're a kind of middle of the West playoff pack team, if we're being real.
Ouch. Boy, you're sitting here in Rip City saying that.
I mean, I like Rip City.
No, I know. I will say this, too. Not having Nurkic. Nurkic is a much better passer than Cantor or any of their other bigs. So... Nurkic is a better screen setter too. So there were occasions when the ball could have gone to Nurkic and Nurkic could have fed Lillard a little bit more, which they don't have that option.
But Nurkic isn't a piece that's going to take you from one level to another.
Well, here's the issue with this team. They're $14 million over the cap next year anyway. So my point is they don't have any money to spend, more money to spend. They have 5 free agents that are key free agents. Rodney Hood, Enes Kanter are 2 of them, the guys they had picked up. And their ownership situation is uncertain. Paul Allen passed away. His sister is now not technically, she is the owner, but she's not really involved in the team at all. And there's not clarity that the team won't be sold. So if they're prepping the team for sale, I don't know if you go into – this year they were in the luxury tax. They paid $15 million in luxury tax. This is a team that is spending like they should be in the Western Conference Finals. And part of that is because they did give Myers Leonard a huge contract. And
Evan Turner
a huge contract. And they're sort of now paying the piper for those. But I would argue that Lillard and CJ are 2 of the best discounted contracts in the league right now. So,
and you got to pay. I mean, that it's right to what you're saying.
So the question is, like, how much more can this – like, I don't disagree with you. I think they do need another piece. But I don't even know if they're going to maintain their current spending without ownership clarity, much less whether they actually would be able to go out and acquire a player. And I don't even know who would make that decision. There's this guy who runs Vulcan Inc., which is the company, you know, Paul Allen was a huge Star Trek guy. So he named his company Vulcan. And Vulcan Inc., by the way, the wealth of Paul Allen. Can I tell a little story here? Or is this
That's your boring? Podcast. They put your damn name on it. You can do whatever you want.
So this is all you need to know about the wealth of Paul Allen. You know, he's really, really into his yachts. He had 2 300-foot yachts.
Who doesn't?
Right. So one time he
band
was...
Band 1 and band 2.
He was going to go to Antarctica. He did go to Antarctica. So they sent the yacht down. Who knows how long it takes to get the yacht down to the bottom of Argentina. And he flew down in his private plane, one of his private planes. And he landed at the very tip of Argentina. And so to get to his yacht, they sent the helicopter that the yacht has out to the airport to pick him up, to take him on out and finish the ride to Antarctica. Well, unfortunately, the helicopter crashed into the ocean. Hmm. Now, fortunately, nobody died, so that was good. So the question begs, what do you do now if you're Paul Allen? Your helicopter from your yacht has crashed. How do you get out to your yacht from your private jet?
Swim.
You send the backup helicopter from the yacht because the yacht has two helicopters. That is how wealthy Paul Allen is.
Some Richie Rich stuff.
So the concept of the Blazers spending $3 million to buy a draft pick or going $15 million into the tax. I mean, if Paul Allen was still with us, I think he'd be like, yeah, we're extending Dame. Let's sign these guys. Like this is the closest he'd been to a title since in 20 years. I think without question, we could sit here and talk about spending not being an issue for the Blazers. By the way, Pete Carroll was at the game last night. Was he the biggest celebrity at the game last night? Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen. Scottie in the front row.
Well, other than, like Steph Curry.
Rachel Nichols.
I don't know her name. This is going to be the player from Oregon who has the triple doubles or the quadruple doubles.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah. She was, you know her. You know her right away.
Wearing a Steph jersey.
I know. Well, it was under, she had it under wraps. So I just don't know. It's not Paul Allen. It's not the Paul Allen trust that's running the team. So
in other words, what we're all saying here, it sounds like, is savor the flavor, Portland, because you caught a few breaks in this playoff run. Dame was awesome. CJ was awesome in Game 7 in Denver, but good luck getting to this point consistently.
Well, and look, the West is a beast.
Is it a beast?
Absolutely.
I'm just saying we don't know whether they can improve is all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not going to get better.
Okay, I'm saying, I'm raising my hand, and I'm saying this is as good as I think Portland can get. Sadly for them, because I love this city. Oh, my God, this is my favorite stop on the whole circuit.
By the way, Andrew Hahn, who's making his first trip.
You're a jackass.
Andrew Hahn is making his first trip to Portland this weekend. Went to the Nike employee store for the first time.
What'd you get, Hahn? What'd you get? Are you not talking?
Oh.
You're Hahn.
I'd rather not say.
you're Hahn.
I will say this, and I meant to save this for when we were recording. At the Nike employee store, I was asking one of the employees about whether they had a certain whatever. And someone said, "You're Andrew the Hahn, right? The podcast is awesome." And I was like, "This is great, but I really need to find out where this stuff is."
You're like, "This is great. We're going to give you 40% off," but that never is what everybody gets. You'd heard stories about the Nike employee store before.
Just that one exists, and that it was heavily discounted.
Awesome.
Did it live up to your dreams? It didn't.
It did not.
That's sad. You shouldn't be saying that after they're such fans.
And anybody who hasn't been, if anyone remembers Supermarket Sweep.
Well, you have to be invited in. Not anybody can just go. So let's just be clear.
Like, okay, right. You need an invitation to walk through the door and get the discount. So somebody has to sign off. But if you have watched Supermarket Sweep back in the day, shout out to David Ruprecht.
I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of Supermarket Sweep?
No.
Okay, I used to watch a show with my grandma, and the gist of the show was go into a supermarket, fill up as many carts as you can for as much money as you can, and whoever spends the most wins. When I walk into the Nike store...
You look like
store,
a guy who can spend some money at a supermarket.
I mean, I set you up so high for that. If you hadn't have knocked it out, like, I'd have been a little worried about you. But I am watching that show in my brain when I walk through the Nike store because I think to myself, I only have a set amount of time. I can't stay out here all day. There's usually a game we all have to be at. I load up on a couple pair of size 13 shoes and some
extra
gear.
That's true. You're never out of size. And even if it's not there, they can find it.
They can find it somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you load up your cart and you go to pay and they're like, "Well, Mr. Friedel, that's blah, 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 and we'll take the 40% off, so here's your total."
Yeah, they have it all regularly priced. You have to do the 40% in your head.
Can I use a calculator?
Well, yes, you can use a calculator. Good. But, there's that moment where they say, "Oh, it's, X dollars, but actually we're only going to charge you X." And, people, it is a nice feeling.
And you're wearing Adidas, Hahn.
There's an Adidas store here too.
Did you go there too?
Employee store. I have not been to the Adidas store, so I can't comment on that. But Nick DiPaola walks around the arena here like a god.
Walks around the city.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just saying that if the good people at Nike offered, you know, maybe a discount code, maybe a little bit more than the 40%, it would change my tune. That's all.
God. Personalized shoes. Next you, Han.
You are a greedy, just ungrateful. You got complimented on the podcast and 40% off, and you're still whining.
And this is coming from a greedy and ungrateful guy.
I mean, it takes one to know one.
Greedy and cheap, I like to point out.
I'm not cheap. I'm frugal.
That's what cheap people say.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Andrew, would you buy a t-shirt for $50, even if you only knew it cost $7 to make? Well, maybe you would. But I wouldn't. And with Everlane, you never overpay for quality clothes. Everlane only makes premium essentials, using the finest materials without those traditional markups. They want you to know what you're paying for and why. So they tell you what their real costs are. And then they're really transparent about every step of their process, from the materials they use to the ethical factories they work with. No matter your style or preference, Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and last longer. Because Everlane sells directly to you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than those traditional retailers. Essentials like their Cotton Crew t-shirt are exactly what they should be. Versatile, simple, stylish, and made from quality materials. You wouldn't believe the amount of products that they have. They've got grade A cashmere, those basic quality cotton products, sustainable silks, premium Japanese denim made at one of the world's cleanest denim factories, Italian-made leather shoes, and outerwear made from recycled water bottles. I don't even know how they do it, but I'm interested. And of course, they're perfectly fit Oxford shirts. And right now you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/hoop, and you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/hoop, H-O-O-P, everlane.com/hoop. Going to the other series real quick. I don't know, Andrew, when is this posting? Is this going to post tomorrow?
It will post Monday morning.
Oh.
It's a Sunday morning
right now. I was
going
to say, I don't know what day today is.
Yeah, so we really shouldn't talk about that series because the game will have transpired.
Well, I mean, you might have fully formed opinions already on that series.
I have a fully formed opinion, no matter what happens in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to give a major shout out to John Horst for hiring Budenholzer, but for reworking that roster, because I was convinced, guys, that Boston was going to beat the Bucks. Convinced. Said as much, of which the Bucks had plenty of fun with on their social media accounts. I watched that Milwaukee team pretty constantly all year last season, and I knew they'd be a little bit better with a coaching change, that offensive system with Kidd, and then my man, the Prunster, didn't work.
The Prunster.
My man, the Prunster.
Oh, man. I mean, those press conferences. Matt Velasquez and Eric Name. The beat writers for the Bucks. We had some interesting times last year listening to Joe Prunty at the mic. But I'd say this. They deserve every bit of credit that they're getting from around the league. And I'd be the first one to say, I never thought Milwaukee could even be in the place that they're in now. We don't know how the rest of the series is going to turn out. But for them to have turned it around on the fly, I watched that team last year. I watched that series against Boston last year. There were two people I trusted on that roster, Giannis and Middleton. And that was it. And again, I knew it would be a
little
better.
Middleton was shaky at times.
Exactly. It wasn't all the time. And Giannis still didn't have the jump shot consistently. Not that he does now, but it's certainly better this year than it was a year ago. But for them to add the pieces around, for them to rework that system, for them to get the younger guys to believe that they could be at this point and be this close to being in the finals. And there are a lot of people out there, guys, who think that the Bucks can beat the Warriors. I am not one of them. I think the Warriors will run through that series.
There are people who think that the Bucks are, you know, if it is Bucks Warriors, who think the Bucks will be, I saw somebody say, prohibitive favorites.
It is very interesting because just looking at the statistical profile of the Bucks, They're very reminiscent of that first Warriors title team.
And it's interesting, to your point, Mr. Hahn, listening to the Warriors personnel who have been around for this whole stretch run, and this goes back a few months, they said, this team reminds us of ourselves from a few years ago. So that is a comparison that has been out there for them for a while, and certainly if this series does come to be in the next couple weeks, that's a storyline that's going to get a hell of a lot of push throughout, because the Warriors are going to say, man, you know, we remembered what it was like that first time, and we remember that nobody really thought we could go from one point to that next high point, and it seems like they have. But the Bucks, to get to this point, credit to what they've accomplished and to ownership for getting Fiserv Forum rolling the way it has, because I just didn't think that team could do it this quickly. And for the future that hangs around Giannis, and that was a question all year last year. Mm-hmm. He had 3 years left. Is he going to stay? What are they going to do? What's got to happen for them to turn around and get to this moment? All the credit goes throughout that organization.
I mean, they made a huge upgrade when they got rid of your ass and brought Malik in, that's for sure.
It was part of their new arena deal. They had to replace. Nick went out with the Bradley Center. I really respect the Bucks. I respect their defense. Their defense is just, you know. Saying this, watch them get up 130 tonight to Toronto, but
they've got three legit dominant defensive players: Giannis, who's probably going to be runner-up defensive player of the year; Brook Lopez, who is, you know, just an anchor in the middle; and then Bledsoe might be, I mean, Bledsoe, Pat Beverly, you know, I mean, we're talking about the best defensive point guards in the league. He's in that conversation. And then, you know, Middleton's pretty damn good too.
There are some actions that the Warriors run that I am convinced are indefensible. It takes a little bit. You know, they can't do it every time. They have to sort of set some stuff up, but there's a couple of plays that they run for Steph that pretty much guarantee either an open shot for Steph or a back cut. And even if they cover the back cut, they're usually smart enough to throw to the weak side.
You know what else is indefensible? When Draymond grabs the rebound and is a million miles an hour running in transition with two of the best shooters who have ever played the game.
Running to the wings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, Draymond on attack and transition.
What happens when Durant's also in that mix? You know, I mean, so to me, I think, you know, the pressure will be on Milwaukee. They're going to – well, they may not win the series.
Let's go back here for a second. The three of you are – talking like it's a foregone conclusion Milwaukee will win.
I'm not. I don't mean that. I don't feel that.
There's a 93.5% chance that they win.
ESPN
teams that go up 2-0.
Who here? Oh wait. Who here thinks
93.5% of the series?
Who here thinks that Toronto's going to win four of the next five games?
Apparently, Andrew the Hahn, ponytails pulled a little.
Well, you
too
know,
tight.
We're being pinned down here because when this pod posts, Game 3 have already happened. We don't know what's going to happen. So this is forcing us into the prediction game, which I'm not comfortable with. But I just put it this way. I thought that Toronto would give Milwaukee all it could handle. I wasn't ready to say that Toronto would win, but I thought it was closer to 50-50 this series.
I only picked Toronto because they were my preseason pick. That's the only reason I picked them in this series.
Why would you do that though? Why would you say something 6 months ago? Like, would you do anything else?
Because if I end up being right, then I can go all the way back to my 6 months
ago. This is one of the reasons why I don't do predictions, because predictions put you in a bad position as an analyst, because you go, what do you want to say?
You know what it is, Brian? I like to have fun. I'm a good time Sally, all right?
No, you don't. You are not.
Yeah, who are you? Who are you?
I just want to make predictions, have a good time about it. It's okay if I'm wrong. I don't mind.
But it puts you in a difficult spot as an analyst, because you take a position and then you are prone to fight for that position to prove that you were right.
That is very true. And I'd also like to point out, while we're on this topic, our friend Mike Trudell. I was sitting with him in Vegas at the Lakers
Warriors game.
Tell
everybody
who
he is.
Mike Trudell is the sideline reporter for the Lakers on their telecast. We're sitting in Las Vegas on our predictions.
I didn't know you ever went to Las Vegas, Nick.
Maybe once or twice. On our predictions for the year, I'm typing all this out. MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Coach of the year, Mike Budenholzer. And he looks at me and he's like, really? And I said, yeah, I mean.
This was in the preseason.
This is in October. Yeah. And he goes, really? Like, you think they can take that leap? They're ready? And I was like, and this ties back into what we were just talking about. Was I really ready to think that the Bucks were going to go from the seventh seed in the East to 60 plus wins, the number one seed? I thought, nah, delete. MVP, Anthony Davis. Coach of the year, Quinn Snyder.
That's not that bad of a pick.
But there's not a day that's gone by since then, especially since January on, as I'm watching the Bucks going, what the hell? Eric Bledsoe is doing this now? What am I watching that I haven't gone back and been like, ugh. And it's colored the way I've thought, because all along, I never believed that the Bucks could do this year. And this speaks to what we're all saying about being held to our beliefs. I didn't watch the Bucks enough this season. I saw them when the Warriors played them. I've watched them a little bit on League Pass, but I've been busy, as we all are during the year. And you're watching the Bucks, and I'm thinking, no way. No way they can do this. And I was so grounded by what I thought before that I wasn't allowing myself to think about what's actually going on now.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Summer is almost here, and that means it's going to event season. Concerts, baseball games, playoff games, theater, everything that makes your summer memorable comes in the form of these great events. And when you want to go to an event and you want to get a good deal on the tickets, the answer is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with those experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, our listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats help fans find seats in those favorite live events, obviously sporting events, concerts, theater, and much more. And they do it with great prices and, most importantly, an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code HOOPS, that's H-O-O-P-S, listeners can receive 10% off their first order with Vivid Seats. And of course, as you know already, all Vivid Seats are confirmed and they're backed by 100% guarantee. So what do? You go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. The first time customers can enter their promo code HOOPS, H-O-O-P-S, and receive 10% off that first order. Again, Vivid Seats to make this summer memorable. How do you feel about they announced the finalists for all the awards? There's not a Warrior on there. No Warrior in the top three of the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year.
The regular season awards. I mean, Draymond Green's absolutely one of the three most dominant defenders in the league, but he coasted during the regular season. He wasn't in shape for a lot of the regular season. I mean, Steph or KD are absolutely MVP caliber players, but it's just when there's two of them on one team, it's tough.
I think Draymond made a very astute observation about the 82-game players and the 16-game players. And when they were the 73-win team, that was an 82-game team. Mm-hmm. And now they're a 16-game team. Like, they don't care that much about the regular season anymore. Not unlike when LeBron is criticized for his defense in the regular season. He doesn't play defense in the regular season anymore, but LeBron is also one of the three devastating defenders when he chooses to be.
Well, not anymore, but he can be very good defensively, but the problem is that this year he didn't have the luxury of doing that. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens in that other series, the Warriors are not going to have home court in the East, which they care 0% about because they've now won a road game in 22 consecutive series.
It's ridiculous.
Which is
shout out to your latest story on ESPN.com.
I actually got into a back and forth with this with Rachel Nichols last night. Andrew was there. I was sort of defending the story that I was going to write.
I didn't really care for it, but it's too late now.
Yeah, so you're on Rachel's side.
You sold me. I read it. It was very good. Great job, Brian.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, well, I could go into deeper behind the scenes here, but I won't. But I think the LeBron stat of 33 consecutive road series with a victory is potentially the most defining stat of his dominance. Everybody will only remember the 8 straight finals. For 33 consecutive series, he won a road game. And there were many, many, many series that he won without home court advantage. To me, that is just an incredible statistic. And so I am therefore, and I spent years talking about how important that stat was when it was 20 series in a row, mm-hmm. when it was 25 series in a row. Last year, you know, they won game 7 in Boston, the 33rd consecutive series, the last series, because they got swept in the finals. The last series that he did was one of his most impressive ever, to win in Boston in game 7 with the lesser team, quite frankly. And this, the Warriors to have 22 series in a row, it actually predates this group. This, you know, it predates their championship years. Mm-hmm. It goes, it doesn't predate this group. I misspoke, but it predates their
Kerr.
It predates their championship years. But, you know, the Steph, Clay, Iguodala,
Draymond,
Sean Livingston core. I guess, well, Bogut wasn't there for all of it, but Bogut was part of the start of it. Those guys have won 22 consecutive series. I think it's, you know, if they win their fourth title in 5 years, it won't overcome that number, and that's what everybody will remember. And if they win 5 and 6 or whatever, but no team in history has ever had a run like this. That's a record, whatever it ends at, whether it ends at 22 because they lose an extra series, or it goes on to 35. It's one of the great stats of all time, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, they come in to a situation like last night. Steve Kerr talked about after the game how they're actually not that good in game threes. And they're not actually. They were 10-8 in game threes under Kerr before last night. Almost all of those were on the road. I think maybe they had home court, I think, in one series. So every game three is on the road. Yet they come into a place like Portland that is an incredibly raucous environment. They're fighting for their lives. They fall down by 18. And they're like,
who cares? And another crazy stat, last night was the 10th time in this Kerr era that they've come back to win a playoff game after trailing by 15-plus. The rest of the league combined in that stretch has 4 of those games. So, you know, we talk about they're not an 82-game team, they're a 16-game. Dude, they're not even a first-half team. They're a second-half. It's like, all right, Blazers here, you know, have fun, enjoy the first half, get up 15, 18, whatever. We'll come out in the third quarter and just take you lunch
money. What is a safe lead? What is the biggest lead you have to have on the Warriors where you feel like you're safe?
You've got to be up 25 at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, like the first half doesn't matter. You have to have can you survive the third quarter?
There's no panic. Being around them every day this year, and the regular season was always going to be a little different because they just didn't care some nights, didn't care enough. They locked in, focus, intensity, all the buzzwords. There is never panic with this group. They always believe they can come back. They always believe that if they put together a solid stretch of time, they're going to win. And in my time in the league, forget my previous stops with where I've been covering certain teams, I just can't remember seeing that often. I'd ask you, B, like those LeBron Miami teams, did they have that?
Yeah, but they did, but they would overwhelm teams with talent. You know, they had the flying death machine where they would start creating turnovers and stuff. They reminded me of like a great AAU or a great high school team where it was just overwhelming with talent. And they eventually would just, they reminded me like Team USA playing, give me the
Angola.
Yeah. You know, where just nobody could compete. This team does it. While they are loaded with talent, they do it with the system. Their system is you know, not that the Heat didn't have a good system, but their system here is what was so amazing. And I will say this:
the talent's pretty damn amazing too. when Draymond's their fourth best player.
They might have.
They've got three guys who can legitimately go off for 25 points in a quarter.
So when they have the
down to only two of
the Hamptons five, you know, people freaked out when DeMarcus signed, and they were like, "Oh my God, they might have a five-person All-Star team." I got news for you: the Hamptons five, those could be five Hall of Famers, because Iguodala's resume is so burnished by his playoff defense. And you know, I've talked with Scottie Pippen about this, about Dennis Rodman's Hall of Fame resume. You know, Dennis Rodman was a specialist who's in the Hall of Fame. And I believe like Ben Wallace is having some difficulty getting into the Hall of Fame. I think Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. And Andre Iguodala could get there.
That's interesting. Rodman was also the best rebounder in the last, 30 years?
Yeah, he was a specialist.
But he was a pretty damn good defense player.
Well, too. Ben Wallace won four straight Defensive Player of the Years.
Well, I'm saying I don't know that Iguodala is in that class.
Iguodala's finals MVP, the gold medals, like all that stuff is going to put him over the top, on top of the titles.
I mean.
Plus, flipping off the camera last night.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys one question about fatigue with the Blazers and the Raptors? Both of them have gone seven. Right now, one team is down 3-0. The other team at the moment is 2-0. How much did that previous series take out of those teams? And like, do you think it mattered at all?
Well, I definitely thought the Raptors ran out of gas at the end of game one. Part of it was Milwaukee's defense, but I just didn't think that they had it. It's hard to tell on the Blazers. I don't know. In talking to people around the team, and again, I'm relying a little bit on people's opinions who know them. I can't have a good feel for them because I think I went to one or two Blazers games all regular season. The emotional letdown, that was such a sky high mm-hmm. feeling in Denver. And I almost think, I mean, I'm sure they're tired, but just the emotional crash of 48 hours having to go from the highest high of the organization. All these players on that whole roster, none of them have had a series win like that before. I'm trying to think, like, you know, the guys who came from elsewhere, like Evan Turner wouldn't have.
Rodney Hood last year in Cleveland, but he wasn't exactly a huge part of that.
That's true. I mean, Terry Stotts has been to the mountaintop, but, you know, he's not playing ultimately. So the emotional letdown. I mean, I've seen that too, you know, covering the LeBron teams, you know, where they have an emotional letdown after they've pulled something off. But LeBron a lot of times can rally you out of that. You know, he's your ultimate. But they don't, you know, I think one of the things we're seeing is, you know, one of the reasons why general managers discriminate against small guards is that even in their greatness, they are somewhat limited in how they can overcome playoff level defense. Now, there are obviously examples in history, but this is a challenge that Lillard has. It's a challenge that Chris Paul has had through his career, and the energy level required for him to overcome it is so, so high.
What about Steph Curry?
One of the five best players of all time, maybe.
I mean, this dude's averaging 36 a game in this series.
And it is a total footnote.
It is. It's crazy. Draymond's been that dominant that I think, you know, Draymond's kind of getting all the shine. And then the defense on Lillard, which, you know, Steph's not really a big part of that. That's more Clay and Iguodala and Draymond. But this dude's putting up an efficient 36 a game, and it's just like...
Yeah, this is a controversial topic. I wrote about this earlier this year. Guy, and I don't have the number in front of me. Guys, I think there's three people in history that have four titles and two MVPs. I think he'd be the fourth. And I talked to Steve Nash about it. Now, Nash is going to be a little bit biased because he has a relationship with the Warriors. But Nash is like, I don't even know why you're coming up with these numbers. He's a top five player already. I mean, like, we're talking statistical case for top five player of all time. I don't think most people would feel that
way.
Hold on.
Is he? Do you put him above KD? I mean, the Warriors can't stop telling us Kevin Durant's the best player in the world.
Steph has said that.
I know. They can't stop saying
it.
They've only won 30 of the last 31 when Steph plays.
I don't like
Kevin's
rankings. All I'm going to say to you is if the dude gets 4 titles and 2 MVPs, we're talking Michael Jordan, Bill Russell. I got to go look it up. I think there's either 3 or 4. I mean, I don't think anybody would say that LeBron.
Magic.
I don't think Magic has 2 MVPs, does he? I should look up that story.
This is a perfect segue into reminding everybody just how much players take note of what's said and written. And it's so intriguing because earlier in the podcast, we were talking about how we know how Kevin likes to respond on social media. He is more outward about that than any other star in the league, for sure. But you don't think Steph Curry, from the moment KD went down and he wasn't coming back in that Houston series and then the last couple of games in this Portland series, heard everybody seemingly saying, Warriors, they can't do this without Kevin Durant. Steph Curry isn't the same player he was.
He has an ego too.
Everybody does. And it's so fascinating being around the Warriors and watching the interplay here because there's a reason they've all come out and said that Kevin is the best player because he's been incredible in the first part of the postseason. But I know for a fact how motivated Steph was. And he's talked about this a little bit, especially after that game 6 in Houston. But a lot of people thought the Warriors had fallen off to a point where Kevin got hurt and that was it for them. And Steph has taken it personally, and he's reminding everybody, hey,
there are people out
I'm over here.
There are people out there who are listening saying, well, Steph never won a finals MVP. You know, maybe this is the year for it.
We'll see what happens there. Kareem. Tim Duncan. Magic Johnson. Bill Russell.
Mount Rushmore.
It's not a bad group to be a part of.
Shaq is not on that list.
Shaq did not win multiple MVPs.
Shaq only won 1 MVP. Kobe won MVP. Now finals MVP. You know. Again, you can frame these discussions differently. Like LeBron has 4 MVPs and 3 finals MVPs. Talk about a short list. You know, that's a short list. Probably should have won more than 4 MVPs too, in all honesty. But actually probably could have won a finals MVP in the 1 year that, the first year that the Warriors won, the year that Iguodala won the MVP. LeBron could have won that finals MVP. It's hard to see. You know, it was another finals where he averaged a triple-double where they lost. So you're not going to, again, put Curry ahead of LeBron. But I'm just saying, if you go, there are people who, when they make their arguments about greatest player ever, they want to only point to a certain stat. They want to say, Kobe had 5 rings, LeBron has 3, therefore Kobe is better. They just all about the rings. So
multiple Z's,
right? So that's fine. I mean, if you want to make a statistical argument, you can find different stats. I'm just saying, if you look at titles and MVPs. You just read the names, McMahon. But Jordan was on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was good at basketball.
He was. And he delivered a dagger here in Portland during his time as well. We're going to wrap up. We have to get to the Nike store. I mean, we have to get to Warriors availability. thank you for listening to Hoop Collective. We will be talking to you. Do you think by Thursday, how about this as we go, by Thursday when we talk to you again, will we know the finals matchup?
I say no. I think Toronto extends.
Hold on. How many games would that be in that series?
So there's, game 3 is Sunday, game 4 is Tuesday. So
game 5, yes.
No, that series won't be over in 5, no.
And the Warriors will be collectively cheering as hard as they possibly can to make sure that happens at this point.
Durant's banged up, Iguodala's banged up, some of their other guys.
Still hoping DeMarcus can make an appearance.
Forgot about him. All right, thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. We'll talk to you later in the week.